Husky sind hier bei mir. Die sind aus Australien und Australier haben vielleicht komische Ansichten über Europäer. Wer weiß. Some days ago I've seen an article about things that Australians think are really weird about the USA. So I was wondering, what do you think is weird here in Germany?
On the way here we were walking with our instruments and nobody crosses when the red man is on. In Australia, you just cross whenever you want, or at least you try. But here, everyone respects the road rules.
Murakami's Kafka on the Beach was an inspiration for The Woods on your first album. Has there been any inspirational work that influenced you, particularly on your new album, Rocker's Hill?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of books and poetry and films that influence the writing of the songs. But I guess one in particular was Leonard Cohen's first novel called Beautiful Losers, which I was reading while I was writing the songs for Rucker's Hill.
What was so inspirational about it?
It's a very kind of, I guess, free and wildly imaginative book. So I feel like it helped me to be free while I was writing, which is a really important thing. I think when you're writing, you need to get rid of your limitations and just free yourself up.
You recorded your first album in a do-it-yourself studio. Why did you decide to do it different on your second one?
Well, we actually didn't do it that differently, not all that differently this time around. We still set up our own home studio to do a lot of the recording and a lot of the overdubs and most of the vocals. But we also stumbled upon, or we found a studio that we really liked, which was out in the hills of Melbourne, about an hour outside of the city. And a lot of the early writing and recording of the album was done there.
So you're recording at home a lot still. And yeah. What makes your home such an inspirational place for you?
I think the thing you get in the home is that you have the time to create and you have your comfort, which is can be a really good thing. It's not necessarily always a good thing. Sometimes it's good to be outside of your comfort zone. But also when it came time to record this album, we'd spent almost 2 years recording the first record, touring the first record. And I think we kind of missed home and we did miss our lives and our beds and our friends and families and partners. So, yeah, it was nice to be home to do the recording this time.
I also have a really good wardrobe, like a clothes cupboard for recording vocals. So that's where we recorded most of the vocals on Rucker's Hill, in my wardrobe.
Oh, cool. Rucker's Hill is a place in Melbourne and you actually grew up there and it's your home, I guess.
It's a place that I lived for quite a few years, yeah, in Melbourne.
Is it some kind of metaphor that when you missed home, wrote the album and then called the album Rucker's Hill?
It's a bit like that, yeah. It was a place that I was living for years before we started touring a lot. And then when we came back home to Melbourne, I was no longer living there. So the house that I was living in was no longer, and a lot of the parts of my life from that time and that place, Rucker's Hill, had disappeared. So I think I was looking back on that time in my life, and a lot of the songs and the stories and the feelings that are on the album came from looking back on that time and people from that time and stories from that time. So that's why we called the album Rucker's Hill. And the first song on the album is about that as well. And it's the title track, Rucker's Hill.
You wrote, "I'm not coming back," when you considered quit working on the album, right?
Oh, no. I mean, there were definitely times during the writing and recording of the album where it was hard and frustrating.
But we didn't tell anyone.
Yeah, I don't think we ever considered quitting. But I wrote "I'm not coming back" when I'd spent a lot of time sitting in my room writing and working on the album, and I was getting a little bit sick of myself, probably more than anything else, and I just had the feeling that I wanted to escape, you know, cut and run and leave everything behind. It's a feeling I think most people can relate to. And that's when I wrote the song, "I'm Not Coming Back."
There's this concept of the second album being the hardest of all in an artist's history. And I've read that working on Rucker's Hill, and you just explained that, was pretty hard. Do you think working on a third album will be easier?
Don't jinx it.
Yeah, look, I think the first record was hard to make, as was the second album. But I think every record presents a new set of challenges and is hard in different ways. So I'm not sure yet. We'll have to wait and see. But I don't imagine it'll be easy.
Okay, you always have to challenge yourself.
Well, that's right, yeah.
If it was easy, everyone would do it.
I would do it if it was easy. So I really like your cover art for Ruckus Hill. Do you decide on stuff like that yourself?
Yeah, well, that was a painting, an oil painting, a big oil painting done by a friend of ours in Melbourne, Tunny Krause. He's an amazing artist and an old friend. We gave him the songs. We gave him the album once it was finished, and he listened to it and then went into his studio for a few days and nights and came out with this incredible image that for him represented the feelings and stories on the album. And as soon as we saw it, we thought it was perfect. Mm.
So Husky and Gideon, your cousins, in what way are the family ties influencing your work?
I think there's an innate understanding and a deep connection, you know, that we have, partly because we're related by blood and also because as we're cousins, we grew up together. We spent and shared a lot of our childhoods, all of our childhoods, really. So there's this kind of unspoken and innate connection that I think adds a lot to the way we work together, the way we write together, the way we play together on stage and understand each other and can kind of predict each other's next moves. And also the nature of playing in a band is you spend a lot of time together, you know, a lot, almost your whole life together. Yeah. And so it's a great thing to be able to do that with someone you love and trust and care about.
Yeah. And even before we played music, we played together as little boys. So we've kind of been working together in some way for forever.
It sometimes feels like we're still just little boys, you know, when we're in the studio and we're playing with sounds and different ideas, and it feels sometimes like we're just back in our childhood, you know, just playing.
Climbing trees, getting into fights. Wrestling.
Dreaming.
Yeah.
That actually sounds more like brothers than just cousins.
Yeah, we're close. Well, we're very close, like brothers. Yeah.
You're from Melbourne, and every single time I do research about the music scene there, it just gives me shivers because there are so many great acts from there. And what's an exciting act from Melbourne that people might not expect you to like?
Well, that's right. There are a lot of amazing artists and musicians in Melbourne. It's a great scene. It's a really thriving scene. There's lots of great stuff coming out of there. One of our favourite bands at the moment is Ainsley Wills. Most people probably haven't heard of her and them yet, but they're great.
There's also a band and friends of ours called Fia, and they're now living in Berlin, but they're from Melbourne. They're also really cool. And yeah, there are so many. I don't know what's going on in Melbourne and Australia in general, but there's the scene is just thriving for some reason.
And I mean, in all kinds of genres, right?
Yeah,
it's like definitely. Every genre has this exciting Australian act.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know what it is. It's like a snowball effect or something. It's just getting better and better. And it's amazing for us because it's, you know, it's, you can go out any night and see a great band in any sort of genre, and it's inspiring, and it challenges you to be as good as you can be. It's a great environment to be writing and making music.
You've been part of the Triple J Unearthed contest, and you've actually won. So Triple J is a bit like Pulse. It's public radio as well. Did winning the contest help you for your career?
Yeah, so we won the Triple J Unearthed competition. I think it was towards the end of 2011. And for the first time ever, we were being played on the radio, not only in Melbourne, but all across the country. So what that meant is that we, again, for the first time, we were touring even on the west coast of Australia, and there were people coming to our shows. So it made a big difference for our musical journey, yeah.
How did it feel when you first heard your song on national radio and you, like, many, many people listening to your song?
Growing up, wanting to be a musician and a songwriter, it's one of the kind of obvious things you dream of, you know, hearing your song for the first time on the radio and the idea that so many people are hearing it at that moment. And I remember hearing it for the first time, and it was the feeling was even better than the dream. You know, it was amazing, amazing feeling.
Husky and Gideon, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.